Today on the Interlochen Collection, we revisit a recital from 1987 in which guest pianist Jerry Billick presented a recital featuring musicological oddities of the early years of Interlochen. Turns out that many popular songs were originally created by Interlochen campers. Hear music by Billy Brahms, Betty Bach, and Manny Mozart on this edition of the Interlochen Collection. Music from the archives of Interlochen Center for the Arts. I'm Amanda Sewell. Stay with us. Jerry Billick is a composer, arranger, and all-around funny fellow. He attended camp at Interlochen in the 1940s and then received degrees at the University of Michigan in the 1950s, where he did all of the arrangements for the University of Michigan Marching Band. He's pretty much a legend at the University of Michigan for several reasons, particularly for his Variations on a College Song, an arrangement he created in 1967 for none other than the New York Philharmonic and Leonard Bernstein. As you'll hear in this 2018 performance by U of M's University Symphony Orchestra, Billick took the fight song, The Victors, and made it sound like it had been written by composers from Bach to Stravinsky.
Thank you.
a performance by the University Symphony Orchestra at the University of Michigan, a 2018 performance featuring music of Jerry Billick, his Variations on a College Song, an arrangement of The Victors that he created for the New York Philharmonic and Leonard Bernstein back in 1967. This is the Interlaken Collection, music from the archives of Interlaken Center for the Arts. In July of 1987, Jerry Billick visited Interlaken and presented a recital featuring what he called musicological oddities of the early years of Interlaken. We'll now present this concert in its entirety, starting with an introduction by Interlaken's president at the time, Ed Downing.
Good evening. I'm not sure what we are in store for, except a treat. Jerry Billick is a good friend and colleague and alumnus of Interlaken. Jerry shared some of his reminiscences of the Interlaken experiences with us at luncheon today, and they were very special and very touching. He would tell you that he was a camper for 5 years, and spent 3 years driving for the transportation department here, so it was 8 years as a music camper and as a staff member. I first came to know Jerry when I went to the University of Michigan, and he was there also as a music major playing trombone. I remember three things of special interest. First of all, that he made all the marching band arrangements in those days for the University of Michigan marching band. The sound that was recognized by everyone as the best there was, and we all credit much of that to Jerry's skill as an arranger. I remember him also as my rank leader as we marched in rank one of the Michigan band. I happened to be on the end, but Jerry was the creative genius behind all of the rank movements that we had. And I still recall a special instance when he choreographed our maneuvers so that we were the very last rank into place, just before the entire band moved off in another direction, for which we got a round of applause from those in the crowd. Jerry is currently Vice President for Creative Development and Elephant Cleanup with Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. And I've been researching some of the musicological oddities, which is a wonderful word to say, the musicological oddities of the early years of Interlaken, with emphasis on some of the lesser-known relatives of well-known composers. Jerry Billick.
Have you ever noticed how the stage crew always puts these seats out backwards? Some of us, that makes quite a difference. As Edward has told you, we've had a long relationship. Most of what Edward knows about music, he learned from my piano playing. And that's why he is the president and no longer the clarinet player here at the... As he said, I have been doing a lot of research on some lesser-known facts about early students here at Interlaken, and there's been very little written about this, and there are, when I get done tonight, you'll understand why. But what I've discovered is that most of the well-known songs in the popular American literature were written actually by students who were attended Interlaken in the early days of the camp, even before Ed and I and some of the other folks were there. And I would venture to guess that some of the songs that are familiar to you may have been some of those opuses that were written by early junior campers or high school campers or some staff people down at the Hofbräu on Saturday. they have appeared in some of the musty additions in the coat machine down there that I discovered. And so I will begin by asking some of you to name some of your favorite popular songs, and perhaps some of them may ring a bell, in which case I will be able to discourse at length on them, and some of the others I will probably not say anything about. But if some of you would have the temerity to name some of your more favorite popular songs, I may be able to expound on them. Does anyone have a favorite popular song? I know this is a serious camp and does long hair stuff. Anybody know any popular songs?
Sweet Georgia Brown.
Yes, anyone else know any?
Stardust.
Stardust.
We used to have words to do on the mall with the interlocking.
Oh, that's right, on the mall.
Smoke gets in your
eyes. Smoke gets in your eyes. That's the theme, of course, of the Interlochen food service. Okay, any other classical music players here? Beg your pardon?
Splash.
Okay, I that's sufficient because I don't play that well when it's fast. Now, what I found out, which is very interesting, that many of these songs, actually some of the ones that were mentioned today, were written by these early campers. And what was not known is that long before we had scholarship and corporate underwriting, there were assistance programs for foreign students. And many of these early students really came from far away. And as you have named some of your favorite songs, if you name some of the famous European composers that you might have heard, there is a possibility that some of their relatives were actually some of the early junior and intermediate and high school campers that I have researched and have in this extensive outline that I've made, a genealogical history of the music of Interlochen and the environments. And perhaps if you want to name some of these composers, I may be able to make some of these interesting connections. Huh? Brahms? Same to you. Anyone else? Huh?
Weber.
Weber.
Handsome.
Mozart.
Mozart.
Mahler. Well, Mahler, I'm about 99 pieces short on the Mahler excerpt. Someone naming the same guy all of them.
Barry, did you get Sibelius?
Beg your pardon?
Did you get Sibelius?
Sibelius? Well, I want to thank you for making this real easy for me. What's the who? What is this one? Oh, Weber. Okay, now, let me just consult my notes here. Now, to help you, there's an interesting thing. That being in the North Woods, very often, the pieces that were created by these various students who I will be discussing, when they leave Interlochen and reach the commercial worlds of the large city and things like that, they really change into the songs with which you're familiar. But when they were written here in the purity of these virgin, well, second generation pine trees. I'm sorry for some of the families. That part of Interlochen I'm not going to discuss, but in this area, the music really took on quite a different meaning. But let me just play some of the songs, in case some of you are not familiar, as they are now known. Because one of the first campers who came in the junior division way back in the 19th century, when this place was still a landfill, was a fellow named Billy Brahms. And he had a passion for French horns and wrote a piece that was very similar to this. Very similar to this. Let me just...
Listening to a recital from July of 1987 featuring composer, pianist, and humorist Jerry Billick on the Interlaken Collection.
The person who asked for books to do that, he actually had a relative that wanted to come here, but they couldn't get his name on the badge. So they didn't let him in. I'm sorry. The next song was composed here. Well, actually, it was composed over at the State Park, was Stardust. And for those of you who don't remember that, it went something like this. Southern accent and the Midwestern accent and the Canadian accent and all the different accents and of course the New York accent. He always used to say, "Well, it's all Greek to me," and so he. But anyhow, he did. And one night, standing at Girls Gate when the light was out, looked up and saw these beautiful stars. And he did write a piece that was amazingly much. Well, then I'll go on to the next one. I know that's going to happen. This is where I really shouldn't. By the way, the piano department asked me to remind you that I was a trombone major.
This is the Interlaken Collection, and we're listening to a concert from July of 1987, featuring composer, pianist, and humorist Jerry Billick.
Some of you, I have it on a compact disc. I also have it on a slip disc for the old disc. Okay, now, next piece really does have a relationship to Interlaken. It's called On the Ball, and it was a piece for the theater majors who weren't very good at music but who could whistle. Didn't do anything musically, but so they would feel part of the camp. They were actually going to use this instead of Lay Preludes, but Lay Preludes was louder. So. And you can all, but. this piece, even though Edwin Frankel Ullman did participate in an interlocking lady, claim to this, it was, of course, written much earlier by a young camper who was one of the first to set one of these weird hairstyles. He had all these white, fluffy things around him. And you heard the picture Amadeus. Well, this guy's name was Manny Mozart. And he, for the junior composition recital, had done this sonata in B moll. But later, the march was named, it got mixed up, and it was called On the Mole, and then they spelling was changed, and they started having shopping centers, and they changed the march to On the Mole. Now, you see, there are not many places where you could get this kind of musicological information at such a price. You now know how On the Mole got started.
listening to a recital from July of 1987, featuring composer, pianist, and humorist Jerry Billick.
Now, the next selection, suggested by the members of the audience, was Smoke Gets in Your Eye. This is a very interesting piece. As you know, there's a great deal of chromaticism in this piece. Right here. And from this chromaticism, a very early camper who had very small fingers, couldn't reach more than a half step at a time, began to develop a whole new concept of playing the piano. And that was to just go a few notes at a time because he couldn't reach a third. And so he couldn't even reach a major second. And so basically he started writing the music in minor second. Now minor second is from here to here. And in some cases he even threw things into the piano to make the interval sound a little small. And his name was Anton Weber, but when he got to college he changed the name so it would be more classical to Weber. And, which I think, Helga, in German, that doesn't mean we burn, right? We sort of, like, they burn. And so he took this song, and he wrote something that was supposed to be a new version of the fire music, Wagner. That was a German version of Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Smoking in the ice gets in your eyes. Was for soprano and comb with toilet paper over it and 16 bassoons, but I will try to do the transcription as best I can. Thank you.
This is the Interlaken Collection, and we're listening to a concert from July of 1987, featuring composer, pianist, and humorist Jerry Billick.
Well, the last song that was like, it's amazing that all of these songs actually were composed by members of the Interlaken family. And I guess when the lights go out at Girls Gate, that's how there comes to be an Interlaken family. There are smiles. I wanted to bring the program to a close appropriately with perhaps the most famous melody that most people attribute to Howard Hanson. And that is, of course, the number they play at the end of the concert to let the horn players get rid of all the wrong notes that they were playing before. Henry and I never cared much for the theme because there are no trombone parts in it. However, that may have been the wisest thing that Howard Hanson ever did. But a lot of people did attribute this to Howard Hanson, but I really believe the theme did come from, now Peter Schickele has talked about some of the lost sons of Bach, but in fairness, there was a daughter that probably no one knows about. She was one of the first junior campers. Betty Bach was her name. Well, Lisbeth in German, but we call her Lisbeth. She was also a junior lifeguard and a very good swimmer. And in fact, if she had taken a fugal subject, it was a theme from a Siciliana that was one of the well-tempered clavicles, and a very early student composition, which she turned into a complete prelude, passacaglia, fugue, sinfonette, and interlude, and dance orchestration, French dance suite, all based on this one theme. And it went... And I think I would like to close by trying to perform the entire original Passacaglia fugue and prelude and postlude all at once at the same time. I think when you've heard this, you really won't want to hear anything.
a recital given in July of 1987 in the Dendrinos Chapel and Recital Hall by Jerry Billick, featuring several works by Interlaken campers who were also relatives of more famous composers. This is the Interlaken Collection, music from the archives of Interlaken Center for the Arts. I'm Amanda Sewell, and you can listen to this episode and our past episodes on our website at interlakencollection.org. As we've heard on today's program, Jerry Billick is not only a great composer and arranger, but also has quite the sense of humor. Last but not least today is a work that's perhaps less funny, but no less demonstrative of his mastery of pretty much every musical style you can think of. Here's his American Variations, which takes the tune Barbara Allen on a tour of many different folk styles. Here's a recording of Jerry Billick's American Variations from a December 1972 WIAA broadcast announced by Edward Catton.
The next work will be the American Variations by Jerry Billick, a work based on Barbara Allen, an old American folk song. Mr. Billick, a young American composer, arranger, and performer, a graduate of the University of Michigan, he has studied with Tibor Sherley, Ross Lee Finney, and Leslie Bassett. He spent some time as an arranger for various U.S. military bands and for the University of Michigan Marching Band. Now, Arnold Gabriel, the Interlaken Arts Academy Band, The American Variations by Jerry Billick. Thank you. American Variations by Jerry Billick. Colonel Arnold Gabriel conducted the Interlochen Arts Academy Band, and Colonel Gabriel has asked the band to rise and share in the applause.
A radio broadcast from December of 1972, featuring the Interlochen Arts Academy Band under the direction of Colonel Arnold Gabriel. They perform the American Variations by Jerry Billick. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Interlochen Collection, music from the archives of Interlochen Center for the Arts. Listen to our episodes anytime at interlochencollection.org. The archival recordings heard on this program are available thanks in part to the Association for Recorded Sound Collections Classical Music Preservation Grant, generous support from our listeners, and the Hamer D. and Phyllis C. Schaefer Foundation. Thanks to Michael Culler for audio engineering assistance. Eileen Ganter provided research support. I'm Amanda Sewell, your host and executive producer. This is Interlochen Public Radio.